5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Did you say it on the TV?
Put moron number two on the phone.
We're on radio.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, nice to have your company on a Monday. I'll tell you why. Big show. That's why.
Big show.
Damien Barrett in every Monday to talk about the round of footy, which will be gold. And then I've got something old topics-wise.
Oh.
One of the more staggering things happened to me yesterday. You won't believe it. I'm going to get to that.
And about time.
Also a bit of social media feedback. Ooh. An amazing prize for that too, Leroy.
Yeah, we do have a great prize. Tradie Underwear Ultimate Toolbox Tradie Pack, which includes jocks, pants, socks and a beanie.
What about that?
We're giving away jocks, Jim.
Nice.
And socks and a beanie.
All right, so social media feedback we absolutely love. Then, second hour, Andy Lee, of course, of Hamish and Andy.
Seen the light.
And the shares.
Seen the light, Jim.
Brand new show on tonight, so we're looking forward to speaking to Andy. And then Michael Gleeson, very good journalist from The Age.
Gleeson.
Comes in, Gleeso, because we want to talk about what the hell's going on between cricket and footy.
For the younger
That's it,
boys.
Bill. It's un-Australian for footballers not to be able to play cricket in the summer and vice versa. We need to get to the bottom of that. Hello to you, Bill.
Ah, Jimmy boy, you're on fire today. G'day to you. G'day, listeners. G'day you, Leroy.
Good morning to you, Leroy.
Oh, is that Whispering Brian?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Brian.
Brian.
Yeah. We had a nice weekend, Bill.
Nice, well, especially Friday night. When you win Friday night,
that, Bill.
And you have a couple of froths, Jim.
Yes.
Actually, that's right, I was working.
No, of course you were, but it opened up Saturday for you, of course. Nice.
Oh, no, Friday night, Jim.
Oh, well.
And then Saturday we had the big Geelong College versus Geelong Grammar game. And you know how big they
rivals.
Get. Or the traditional
and you
rivals.
Got upended the college.
Yeah, they do, but it's all about the parents, Jim. All the parents get out there at Grammar.
Oh, of course they do.
Very nice. There wasn't one Ford or Mazda.
No, there wouldn't have been.
Or it was just all
Range Rovers.
Ford drives, Jim.
Yeah, that's it. Porsche Cayennes. All that sort of business, Willis.
Oh, it was a good game, and well done to Grammar. They won by 9 points.
Mm, how did Oski go? Did you get a kick?
Oh, you got one. Got one in the
one
bum.
Kick.
For me.
Oh,
yeah. No, it just weren't good enough. They were leading by 9 points, too, and let them back in it. So, well done to Grammar. That was good. So, that's about all. And then, we got in Sunday for the Sunday Footy Show, Jim, and we're going to get here. And then, of course, what happened over in London happened our time Sunday morning. And myself and Damo were in our gear ready to go on air, and then they pulled it, which I think was the right call.
Yeah, I agree.
It was all happening, and there was things going on live over there. So we missed it.
You wouldn't want to be in London just at the minute, would you? Or the United Kingdom, for that matter.
There's a bit going on, Jim. It's a worry, isn't it?
Big concern.
Bloody worry. I tell you what has happened. There's a lot went on in netball this weekend.
Yes. Two
finals, Jim. Both games were decided by one goal. One goal. The Vixens got beaten by Sunshine Coast, 56-55. Jim got beaten by one, so they
at home.
At home, so they got to play. Well, they got to win first, but Lightning go through the grand final.
Yes.
So the big prelim is the Vixens taking on the Giants.
Yes.
The Giants defeated Collingwood by one.
152-51.
And they were up by, I reckon, five or six, Jim.
What?
Five or six. Collingwood were. They shouldn't have lost that. That was a bad loss by them. So, Vixens take on the Giants. That's a prelim final at Hisense Arena next Saturday, Jimmy boy.
Very good.
I tell you, keep marching on the Storm.
Oh,
no Cameron Slim.
Billy Slater.
Yeah, Billy Slater was outstanding, Jim.
Jeez.
40-12, they won that one.
He goes into the next game, surely, next State of Origin.
Well, they do need some...
sizzle.
Sizzle, exactly. They're on top of the ladder, the Storm.
Yep.
And the NBA this morning... Oh, the Warriors are just gone whackety-whack, Jim.
All styles, my boys.
132-113.
It might be a four-zipper.
Well, it's two-zip at the minute, but they do go to Cleveland now for game three and game four, I'm assuming.
Well, they need to win both of them. Even with that, I think they're in all sorts, the Cavs.
Steph Curry, 32, 10 rebounds, 11 assists.
KD.
KD was outstanding. I tell you, they did have one bloke at a crack, LeBron. Mm. 29 points, 11 rebounds, 14 assists. That's a triple-double, Jim.
Yes, it is.
In my book.
And five makes 30 in my book. Bill, he is a superstar, LeBron, but he can't do it all on his own. So I think they're in a bit of trouble.
I'll tell you what I'll read with interest, too, and we might talk to Gleeso about this, about the kids. You know, the NAB AFL Draft Combine.
Yes.
They've the beep test gone.
Ooh.
Gone, and the 3K time trial gone.
Oh, good, because they're both hell.
Well, the 3K.
I hated both of them.
The yo-yo run is the go now. That's going to replace the beep test.
Right.
And the 3K is down to 2K. But you know who holds the record for the beep test?
Who?
Billy Hartung, oh. Hawthorne.
What is it?
That was weird. 16.6.
I reckon I got to late 12s and I thought I was going to die.
16.6, Billy Hartung.
You can't get to 16. That's impossible.
And the 3K time trial, the best run ever. Mm. Josh Schoenfield plays for the Gold Coast.
Yes.
9.15.
Yeah.
9.15.
Yeah, that's just over 3K, three minute K. That's ticking along.
Oh, my man.
Bill.
Yep.
We need to get to Damo next and find out what's going on in the world of AFL football.
Come on, Forts.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Everything you need to know about the AFL.
Co-Tire will help make your job happen. 13 15 52 or co-tire.com.au. Triple M.
Co-Tire, very good friends of ours, and of course provide us with Damien Barrett, the best newsbreaker in football every Monday. Hello, Purple.
Jim and Bill, and finally,
Purple.
We get the message the AFL should have delivered some weeks ago. You cannot punch in the AFL now.
Why this week?
Well, it's Tom Hawkins, Bill, and he's copped a week. And
no, he's copped 2 weeks, Damien.
Well, he's copped one, Bill. Let's deal with the reality of it. He's copped one. He's going to miss one game of footy.
All right. How many weeks did Matt Crouch get for acting?
Come on, Bill. Let's
mate, honestly,
treat this objectively, please.
No.
Why?
Because why should Tom Hawke get it? Everyone else has been jumper punching.
He's genuinely worked up over this.
Mate, Matt Crouch is one of the great acting efforts I've ever seen.
If the stripes on that Geelong Guernsey were the other way around,
yes.
Say Collingwood or North Melbourne style,
yes.
Would you think the puncher should have got a week?
No.
Come on, Bill.
But the inconsistency is what baffles us. I'm with you. If you're going to say we're not tolerating that in the comp, that's absolutely fine. Mm. Just consistently adjudicate.
And let's
that's
also
all we want to see.
Yep, exactly. And if you see that happen in a preliminary final,
absolutely. Sorry
for the person who does it.
Yep.
That is now the blueprint for what we do.
But we know that won't be the case.
We know it won't be the case.
In 2 weeks' time, another one will come up that'll completely baffle us, and we'll go, well, how does he go for a week? Mm. And that's $1,000.
That's twice now for Tom Hawke, isn't it? He's been done.
It was about a year ago, wasn't it? Or was it maybe 2 years ago? But yeah, he's been done twice. You just go back to the one that started the whole conversation, the Cochin on Lachie Neal, and how you line that up now, Jim, with what they've decided to slap Tom Hawkins with. He's very, very lucky, Terence Cochin.
Yeah, no,
and I actually still argue that Ben Cunnington was very lucky as well. And to a point, Zach Jones last week on Bruce there in the SCG game. But anyway, hopefully now the words that they've been uttering now for a couple of weeks are now not just words that they're going to act upon them.
One thing we know about the MRP Purple is that they are unbelievably consistent in their complete and utter inconsistency.
That's right.
And that has been the case for as long as the bloody things existed.
No matter who's in charge of
it. No
Adrian
one knows
Anderson,
what
to Mark
the hell.
Evans,
That's
to it. Simon Lefflin, and to the people who do it, and we like them all and we work with them, and
great
they're
people.
All respectable.
We just don't know what the hell they're doing.
Nah.
Every week something else happens that you can't explain.
The independence of it, Jim, which is supposedly a bastion of its operation. Do we think that's still in existence? Because I don't.
There's a strong argument for just having one bloke.
I actually am coming around to that theory.
Just have one person and he just says, right, he's getting
bang,
a week,
bang,
he's getting 2 weeks.
Ian Collins style.
Well, that's it.
Hmm.
He used to do it, Collo.
He did.
I mean, at least then you'd have a consistency in thought pattern going through it, wouldn't you?
And it was no worse than what we've now been subjected to in recent times.
You can't blame any footy department or footy follower for shaking their head and thinking, well, I've got no idea. I've got no idea what's going on.
We'll leave that task with you, Bill, identifying the person who can
gonna
play that role.
Going to be a good, tough, strong person, isn't it? What's Barry Hall doing?
He wouldn't care.
Although, you wouldn't argue, would you?
Although I find the retired players, even if they are of Barry Hall's type, they look
the
after
players.
The players.
Yeah, that's all right.
I think it needs to be a non-player.
Not
a hanging judge style of a person. Hey, yeah,
we've got a good self.
Is enough.
Geez, those glasses are fog up.
Yeah, it might actually. Hey, we went to Collingwood because that was a very, very good win, wasn't it, Jim? 3 weeks ago, 43 points down against Hawthorn in the second quarter, and they managed to scrounge their way to a win on that. Got the next weekend's win against Brisbane Lions.
Yep.
And then did something very courageous at the Perth game yesterday against West Coast and set themselves
Freo.
Up.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, Perth game.
You're against West Coast. You said.
West Coast.
Freo got back into the game, actually. I think it was all tied up there at one stage, and then Collingwood kicked away again.
They're really good. And
they've got some injuries.
They've got some injuries. Yeah. We'll get to those in a minute, Bill, because there's serious injuries to big-name players. But just Nathan Buckley, he's taking, as you can hear here, Jim, the Luke Beveridge attitude to the soldiers going down.
Well, the story tonight is just the guts of the group. With due respect to the guys that might be touch and go for next week, it's not going to concern us. When we bring that sort of collective effort, you will have 22 fit blokes that'll that'll front up. And if we're prepared to play footy the way we did tonight, the personnel isn't going to matter as much as the collective effort.
Jamie Elliott's the real key out of that, isn't it? It's the same ankle that he rolled at the start of the year. That's unrelated to the problems he's had in recent times with his back mainly. Yep. And it's a real issue because you saw with the three goals he kicked in that third quarter that it just got them on song, didn't it? And he's so crucial now that he's got some footy back into his system. And as we speak, we just don't know how long he's going to miss other than it will be some weeks.
Wells, did you see that one? He went to take off to chase and just went bang straight away. And it looks like the calf, and that's dangerous.
Well, it is with you at his age of his and the stage of his career. And given that he didn't do a great preseason, and the body of work required to get through a season when you're his age is not there, Jim. And
it's just kept on recurring with Wellsy. It's such a shame because at his best, he is as good a viewing as there is in the comp, Wellsy, but unfortunately his body has just continued to let him down.
And was crucial to the mini turnaround of the Collingwood team, wasn't it? When he finally got into the team, he actually was really good in those consecutive weeks where they had to turn it around. But I think people who know him and have worked with him, certainly from North Melbourne's perspective, are not at all surprised. And that's not to say they're actually happy. Of course they're not. But they're not at all surprised that come the midway point of the season, he's now in trouble again with that calf. Tyson Goldsack, who's a friend of yours, this program's really courageous the way he battled through with a shoulder. Again, don't yet know what that's going to mean. Can they patch it up? I probably doubt it, but it just was crucial to being able to structure up in the forward line. And Levi Greenwood, again, a courageous player for a number of years already, battled through a thigh complaint. And again, he might be able to run that one out, but few issues to worry about.
Playing forward yesterday.
He's done it a bit this year, the pig Greenwood. I'm thinking it's because they're wanting some heat in the forward half.
Yeah.
I don't think it's for silky goal finishing.
He did
much
finish
as I love the pig, I'm his biggest fan, but he brings you 120% his goal.
He does. I'm as critical as anyone has been on Richmond. You don't back away from that because what they did against Fremantle and then GWS in those close games, I think they left themselves wide open. But to their credit, Jim, the Essendon game last week in the Dreamtime just did what it had to do, got through the game and won, and then I think really stepped up against North Melbourne too. That could have gone either way. In the end, they were a clearly better team.
Yeah, I must admit, I did not see a second of it. I was at a friend's 40th, so I didn't see. But I looked at the scores, and it was a bit of what North Melbourne have done this year. They were good to half-time, and then about 20 minutes of footy did it. But they are playing much better.
They're better.
There's no doubt they're playing better. They're advancing the footy is what they're doing.
And their pressure all over the field. They've got those little blokes up forward are really good, and their pressure all over the ground.
But they used to spit it out backwards and sideways and never put anyone under enough pressure. But now they're actually going, as stupid as this sounds, going forward with the ball.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you do that how much better and impactful you are
north,
at the other
south.
End of the ground.
They call it north-south instead of east. East-west,
maybe just going toward goals rather than sideways. But Fremantle and GWS, those games, Bill, that were the embarrassing losses. And the one before that was the Bulldogs one. But to me, they didn't do much wrong in that game. They were just beaten by a team that knows how to handle those moments better. So they've really set themselves up, haven't they, now, for what they have promised, I think, without sort of having any great justification for some time. But I think it's great that they're up and about. Port Adelaide, they keep winning, and they've now got a stretch of matches which won't prove to anyone either where they're at. And that probably just gets us back to the losses they've had are against quality team, and we still don't feel they've had the scalp that we probably need them to have before we put them into the pointy end conversations. But all they can do is do what they did against Hawthorn and to restrict them to only 3 points to half time, and we saw it happen in the second half. That 51-point margin could have been easily double that, possibly treble it.
More coming up with you, Purple. Let's take a little bit of a break with Damien Barrett, of course, on the Rush Hour.
For Coates Hire, help make your job happen. 13 15 52, or head to coateshire.com.au. We've got Damien Barrett with us.
I've said it many times. Bill will out nuff the nuff. He's capable of it. I've never seen anyone better at it.
Still one of the few people I know who walks into a bar and introduces himself to everyone who doesn't know him.
That's it.
And you get free drinks out of
do you?
Yeah, that's the idea.
What happens?
Free drinks, free frothies.
All right, and we finish with the positives
we
move across.
Bill always has a go at me about being too negative, so we're going to continue just for a little bit. GWS, just touch on them, 9-2 after the 11 games. And as we know, they're doing it under sufferance with injury to key players. And Bill, we didn't do the Sunday footy show yesterday because we had the London bombing situation, which we made the right call on not doing as a network. We didn't make the call, but the network did.
Yep.
Tell me, though, because I was ready for you to drop an exclusive on the show.
I had an exclusive.
You said, I want 2 minutes of this.
Yeah.
What was it?
Well, Stevie J, of course. So his wife, is he married? Yeah. Erin.
Erin.
Car. I went there, that's right. A car got broken into, and his keys were in her console. They took his keys and took his car, which was sitting next door to it. Right.
That's not exclusive. That's on the news.
No, they
already
took off, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But what's the exclusive bit?
Well, exclusive, I'll give you two bits here. They took off and chased these blokes in his car, didn't catch them the first time, had a little spell, then they saw him again and got him the second time.
Yep.
But when they caught him the second time, Jim, the doors are open, Macca's, and the Macca's drink and the console.
Big Mac wrappers.
Yeah, Big Fix Mac, shakes. Everything. Guess what?
What?
That wasn't from the blokes who pinched Steve-O's car.
Stevie's had him in there.
Steve-O's That was Steve-O's Macca's.
No, Billy.
It was Steve-O's Macca's.
It was the people who stole the car.
No, no.
Bought that.
Oh, yeah. They're running from the cops. They're going to pull into Macca's, are they? Yeah, give us a couple of Big Macs and we'll have some drinks. No, it was Steve-O's.
He's denied that, Bill.
I know. Of course he's got to. Because he's supposed to be playing next week with that bad knee. They were his.
So. As in Crownies at another club's game the previous week and Big Macs during the week.
Actually, I think there's a couple of VBs might have rolled out too.
Isn't that what Carlton used to do in the mid-80s when they had that glorious run? They'd all leave Princess Park after training.
Go to Norton's.
And Norton. They just thought, drive through with the Macca's. It'd be Big Chip Kernahan and Mario Bortolotto and all these.
Well, I think Steve-O's still got that black card we got here at Triple M, still using it up in Sydney.
I love that. That's gold.
The Cats, Bill.
Yes.
You're liking what you're saying?
Oh, well, I loved them. You know why? The pressure. Scott Selwood.
Yeah.
You know what he does? He actually makes a better and a calmer Joel. Because Joel gets a bit worked up as captain.
Right.
Have a think about this. Yeah. And Joel gets worked up and he's captain. He's got to do this. And I reckon he's just having his brother there.
Mm.
It just calms him a bit. Mm, nice. And Joel's played really good footy since he's come along.
What do you hope he has?
So not just the tackling and what he brings to the game itself.
It's just all round.
I pay attention to
that. Did you see that cut? That cut he got on his head.
Yeah.
Mate, you watch Henderson. He's the first bloke that gets to him, right?
Yep.
Henderson waves. He couldn't believe it because it was only a shortcut, but it was really deep to the bone. They had to take him inside and they couldn't put butterfly clips on. They had to stitch it there and then he had to come out and play. So you watch Henderson's reaction.
Old-fashioned
stitch, the old-fashioned.
Western Bulldogs got a Thursday night game against the Sydney Swans, and strangely enough, they're the underdogs in it. Luke Beveridge, who battled with team composition last year, Jim, didn't he, really well, and effectively allowed them to get through to where they got through to the very end, and got a dilemma this week on a couple of key players, Cloak, Boyd, and Liberatore.
Travis Cloak kicked 3 goals last time you guys faced the Swans. Does that help his chances of getting back in? Or?
Yeah, that would be a factor in considering any changes to the team because he really did spark us in that game.
How's Matty Boyd tracking?
Pretty good, yeah. Expecting him to play. He's got to get through training today. Expecting him to play this week. I mean, the hard thing for Liber at VFL level is that he gets that attention. He's getting tagged, and we'll consider that. We don't want to torture him. But the challenging thing for the boys who had I think they had a 90-odd point win against Sandy, is that the senior team played pretty well.
I've learnt not to read too much into Luke Beveridge's statements because he's very upfront anyway. He tells it as it is. But I just detected Liberatore is not back this week on the back of that. But again, there's still a couple of days before the selection's required.
Did he mention anything about being in the Queensland camp for the couple of days, the State of Origin?
I think he might have. I haven't heard that part of it, if he did.
He's up there for 2 or 3 days in the camp. And,
With Kevy Walters, I think, is the relationship. Yeah. Okay, we'll bang through some negatives. West Coast Eagles, we've been on their back, haven't we, for some
time.
They have
hit the wall.
Yeah, and obviously we know the superstar that is the full forward, and you know you love him as much as anyone, Josh Kennedy, but when he's out of the team and Jack Darling can't lift his performance to at least a stage where he can cover for him in some form, it's an indictment. And losing to the Gold Coast in the circumstances that they did, and particularly that lack of urgency in the last 45 seconds when the captain's got the footy in his hands, albeit in the goal square, needing to go the whole length of the ground. Yep. But to then chip it to...
I better say, you'd have a go to the whole length, wouldn't you? I mean, you might as well lose by 12 points.
Yeah. Well, if he's not the biggest kick in the league, he's the second biggest. Yes. And he chips it to Sam Mitchell, who I don't know whether he was calling for it or just happened to be there. But and then he chips it to Jetta on the fence. And I don't know what they were doing. But we've
rolled under the Suns, by the way.
Yeah. Let's give it to them. Adelaide, again, to me, similar to West Coast now, just cannot get a read on them from the absolute high-end calculations just yet, Jim. Yep. They're going to be there, or they're about.
No, but they will. They'll be top four, you'd think. But it's and the home final's important to them. And that midfield, we talked about it on the rub. I just reckon they're one real hard-bodied inside mid short at the moment.
Yep, and the losses now to North Melbourne, and Geelong, they throw up a lot of questions. Yep. North Melbourne, we touched on them a moment ago with the loss to Richmond. Just... weren't there when it was counted, and Todd Goldstein's a worry.
Yeah, I think with a young group, that's going to happen to them a bit. I just think they're going to get this back half of the season as fatigue sort of kicks in with a few of these kids. All right, they're going to have those afternoons, but it still won't be acceptable to anyone in there, and it shouldn't be either.
No, should not be.
And the bus, I know. This will be interesting when the bus goes this week.
Well, we've had that big 48-seater over in Perth for the West Coast Eagles, and the other one we've sort of moved from Collingwood to Richmond to various places, back down the Hawthorn Way this week. Ooh. It's just that smaller one. We're not yet giving it the full whack, Jim, but just that little 12 to 16-seater. With the trailer on the
uncharted
back.
Uncharted territory for them, wasn't that first half?
3 points.
It's extraordinary.
3 points to half time.
Never happened in club history.
No. And had Port Adelaide kept up the intensity even to 75% of what they had in the first half, it would have been even more ugly than it was.
Mm. All right, Purple, look forward to seeing you when? Not this Wednesday because footy show duties?
Yeah, we're back on Thursday as a result of that.
Look forward to seeing you then.
That was Damo's recovery session.
Well done, Purple.
Co-Tire will help make your job happen. 13 15 52 or co-tire.com.au. Triple M.
We do this one quite regularly, Willis. It's called You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
You've got to be kidding me, Jim. We're not doing it again.
Well, exactly. When you've had to utter that sentence.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what happened yesterday.
Oh, what happened?
I finished kids' footy.
Yep.
I'm driving home and I'm thinking, right, I need something for lunch.
Hungry.
Mm. Anyway, and the kids obviously are too. Bloody anyway, I'm driving along, Bill. I see to the right-hand side, coming up a row of shops, a place called Charcoal Chicken.
Oh, yes, please, Jim. Bill. Nice.
I pull up.
Yep.
I walk in.
Yep.
No one in there except for the lady behind the jump.
Mm.
She says to me, what can I do for you? Bill?
Funny about that. What do you say?
I said to her,
yep.
I'd like a chicken, please. Guess what she said?
I'd hate to think.
Haven't got any chicken. I said, Bill.
What? No charcoal chicken.
I said, your joint's called Charcoal Chicken. We haven't got any chicken.
What time was this? Is this late now, Bill?
1:45.
No.
PM.
So 1:45.
1:45, aye.
And no charcoal chicken.
No chicken in Charcoal Chicken.
And what did you say?
She said, you can have some fries if you want to wait 15 minutes.
And what did you say?
I just turned around and walked out.
No, you would have said something.
You've got to be kidding me. Yes. Bill, how can you call your joint charcoal chicken and on Sunday afternoon not have any chicken?
I have no charcoal chicken. Come on.
Anyway, 133353, when have you recently uttered the sentence, you've got to be kidding me?
No charcoal chicken.
No chicken in charcoal chicken. Tell you, I go in Sunday to just before 2 o'clock, 1:45, into a place called Charcoal Chicken. I said, I'd like a whole chicken, please. The lady says to me, we don't have any chicken. Bill, a joint's called Charcoal Chicken.
And at 1:45, you think there'd be a few just on the...
rotisserie?
Rotisserie.
That's it, Bill?
Yes.
Anyway, I said to myself, you got to be kidding.
You know, when I said to myself, you got to be kidding?
Go on.
When I saw this media release from the Australian Football League, Tom Hawkins charged and striking Matt Crouch, old actor Crouch.
Come on.
Mate, 2 weeks down to one.
That's it. You got to be kidding me.
I said a few adjectives even more in there, Jim.
Yeah. All right, Greg's in Moorabbin. Hello, Greg.
Greg.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you doing?
When did you say you got to be kidding?
No, you've got to be bloody kidding.
Oh, right. What happened?
The grandkids come down. It's all good. And you love seeing them and you love being the grandparent that everyone wants to visit and all that sort of garbage.
Yeah.
Come home from work, sitting on the couch, and what are they doing? They're fighting over the TV. There's 6 TVs in that house. They've got to fight over that one TV.
I love it. I love that. And that is so true. I've got about 4 at my joint, and that's exactly what happens every time.
The one.
The one, and then they blew over the show, And you're like, well, why don't you just go and sit in the other room and watch your own television?
Yeah. You know what is funny about grandkids and grandparents, Jim? They do. They love seeing them for about 10 or 15 minutes.
Yep.
Then I tell you what, they can't wait till they leave.
Hand them back. There you are. Exactly. They're yours. Take them home. Mark in Doncaster. Marco?
G'day, JB. G'day, Billy. How are you?
Good, Marco. What happened?
You've really got to be kidding me, Bill, today. 12 minutes ago, I'm one out in the quaddy at Warrnambool.
Oh.
I'll finish early to get home. I've got one horse, the top weight. We get run over in the last 50 metres for a $44,000 quaddy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What did you have in the first couple of legs? How wide did you go?
I went wide in the first two and dot in the last.
And it comes second?
It comes second. We lost by half a horse.
And I paid 44.
44?
Wow.
No way.
Oh,
all right, stay there, Mark. You would be saying you got to be kidding me.
Oh, rub me one. He didn't. Oh, that's right.
Cool. Brad's in Pakenham. Brad?
Yeah, g'day, boys. I was doing a delivery one day. I used to be a truck driver. I'm sitting there waiting to deliver, and this young fella's washing some trucks, and he decided it'd be a good idea to hang his chamois over the windscreen wipers and then turn the wipers on to dry the windscreen. Yeah. Now, that worked for the first two swipes, and then the windscreen got dry, and I ripped the arms off the wiper arms off the windscreen wiper. And I said to the bloke beside me, I said, you watching that? You've got to be kidding me.
I like
That's
it.
Funny,
That's
yeah.
gold. Well, Luke's next. Bill Ringwood.
Hey, Lukey.
G'day, guys. Love the show. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Lukey, great, how are you, mate?
Yeah, going well. Thanks, going well. I was travelling through Spain a little while ago, And I signed up to a pretty fancy boat cruise one night, and I thought, this is good. Pay your money, get your free seafood all night, free alcohol, the whole lot.
Yep.
About 2 hours into it, they ran out of both.
What, grog?
What?
Grog, seafood, the whole lot. They ran out of everything.
Oh, come on. Got to be kidding me.
2 hours
into
it. To Spain.
Yeah.
On the cruise?
He felt the pain in Spain.
Cruise for the night, and we're stuck out in the bay, and I turned around to these two Aussie guys that were on the boat as well, and they said, oh, bugger this, we're out of here. One of them climbed the mast and jumped into the water and swam to shore.
Oh, because he needed a frothy.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Crumbs. All right, Troy, stay there. Troy and Milton finishes us off. Troyza.
Billy, James, how are you?
Good. Troyza, what happened, buddy?
Oh, geez, we're at the footy on Friday night, seeing the Maori Catters, and Jolly Selwood gets flattened. And then, I don't know, second or third quarter, someone else gets flattened. I thought, oh, who's that now? Jolly Selwood again? I thought, oh, you've got to be kidding.
Ah, exactly. What about the way he went back? When you go back, Jim, when you know people are coming, you do it a bit like you're half-hearted, you know?
Yep.
But he just actually runs back into the play, and that cut, that was unbelievable.
Stupidity. I don't know.
He's actually silly, I think, actually.
Reminds me of myself.
No, Jim, you would have never done anything like that.
Social media, unbelievable prize, by the way, the tradies pack, including undies.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get them anywhere else.
Jim.
Yeah. What are we doing here? Please, the top five or top three?
Top four, Jim, because we just got a late one from Nick Hill, which I liked.
Yes.
This, of course, love to see String Beans Brayshaw run back into the pack after how much he sulked over
times.
A little golf ball to the head. Remember that when you come in? Oh, good hit.
Actually, didn't sulk. Worked two shifts with blood spurting out of my head.
Oh.
Joel went off. I kept working.
Oh, he had a little hit to the head. Jim Finn. Number three is Carl Webster. Billy needs to stop sooking over Tom Hawkins.
Yes, well done. He should win.
Geelong are a bunch of sooks. He doesn't win, but not bad. Well done, Webby.
Very good.
Number two, from Dosey 5, when the lights go on at Skilled Stadium. It's actually Simmons, Dobie. And I think to myself, what's all this hype? You've got to be kidding me.
Yes, agreed.
But our winner, Jim.
Okay.
This struck a chord with me.
Did it?
From Scotty Pendergast. Today.
Or Prendergast, maybe.
Pendergast. Today, I got charged 20 cents for plain salt on my potato cakes.
What?
20 cents, Jim,
for
plain
salt.
He said, you've got to be kidding.
And fair enough, too.
Hashtag un-Australian.
I know, I agree.
20 cents for plain salt on his potato cakes. So, Scotty Pendergast.
Or even Prendergast.
No, it's no R.
So, he hasn't put an R. It's Pendergast.
Pendergast,
righto.
Which I've said three times. You're going on the idiot
pole. I still don't believe you, and I can't even see it.
So, Scotty Pendergast, you have won. I don't know
what
you're doing.
The tradie pack, Bill. The ultimate toolbox tradie pack, including jocks, pants, socks, and a beanie.
Socks.
Perfect.
Oh, wowee.
Nice one.
Well done.
Andy Lee going to join us shortly. Hey, thanks very much to the Habibs.
Yes, Jim. Here come the Biebs. They're on tonight after
Second series, yep, absolutely.
Yes, at 8 o'clock on Channel 9.
And what have they provided us with?
Well, the kebabs, Jim. All sorts of kebabs here.
Chicken, beef, beautiful. Where from?
I had the beef.
Just into the microphone bit there, Bill. The thing in front of you there. Yeah.
That'd be souvlakis, I'd imagine.
Yeah. So, no, Biggie Smalls.
Biggie Smalls?
Biggie Smalls.
Yeah, kebabs. Nice. Kebabs. Beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, Jimmy boy.
All right.
So
well, thanks very much. Every time people are good enough to send food into us, Bill, they'll get a mention.
They do. It's not hard. It happens. Grand Hyatt last week.
That's it.
Biggie Smalls
Biggie
this week,
Smalls,
Jim.
Beautiful. I'll be watching the Habibs, of course, after.
Yeah.
True stories. True stories. So tonight with Hamish and Andy starts. We're about to speak to Andy Lee about the show, which is going to be a cracker. What
funny,
else, please?
Funny show, the Bibs. I like it, Jim. Mm-hmm. It's a good little show.
Yes.
You've been watching the Championship Cup?
Champions Trophy.
The Champions Trophy, Jim.
Well, we were lucky to get away with a rain
washout.
Washout because we served up the biggest pile of garbage you've ever seen.
Well, struggling a bit.
Except for Hazelwood, everyone else.
1 point each there to Australia and New Zealand. South Africa defeated Sri Lanka. And then last night, India made 319, Jim. 2 for 319.
Listen to old Biggie Smalls.
That's a kebab.
Listen to Biggie Smalls. Got halfway through a sentence and then couldn't keep going.
Oh, Jim.
Come on, Biggie.
So India smashed Pakistan last night. Kohli, 81 not out. Oh, Jim.
One bite of a Biggie Smalls. Oh. And you can't operate anymore.
Well, no, they've got a bit of tang to
have
it.
They?
A little bit of tang to it, Jimmy boy. Let me tell you, you shouldn't eat during the break.
No,
you know,
I don't reckon you should.
Very unprofessional.
I don't reckon you should.
Very unprofessional.
Especially when you're preparing for one of the greats of modern radio in Andy Lee. He's about to do something.
Look around there. There's Jewel. Like a meerkat, they put their hair in Jack. Jack or whatever.
He's about to do something that's quite extraordinary, by the way.
What?
Talk to us while he's on another radio station. Only a man as talented as Andy Lee could achieve that, actually.
He's
coming up
it.
Next.
A very special guest from upstairs.
Yeah, a man, a part of the second best radio duo on the air. Hamish and Andy, you might know a little bit about the caper, Bill.
Just ducking down the ad breaks. They can sell more ads in our show. So I got a longer
break. So you're a longer break?
Oh, yeah, just because of the quality.
Are you like the FM Ross Stevenson? We only speak about once every 45 minutes.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a topic for today's show, would you? We're just one short old topics, Brownless. No good.
7:30 tonight, Willis.
Yes.
On the Nine Network, True Story, Hamish and Andy's new television project.
Ooh.
And you
on
must
nine.
Be ve- so I said that. You must be very excited.
I am. I'm bloody pumped, actually. It's been a long, long time to get all this together. Essentially, the story revolves around everyday people's stories. People that are listening right now, we had a team of eight search the country. Ooh. Did a lot of just, for stories, did a lot of just ringing up small towns, mainly the pubs, and going, who's the biggest character in your town?
Yep.
We want to hear from them. And then we didn't have to do that because Hamish and I are lazy, but the format obviously relies on Hamish and I hearing those stories for the very first time. And they sit down, tell us the stories, Hamish and I react to them, and then we've managed to go off and script them up and bring these everyday heroes, their stories to life with great comedic actors and performers.
Very good. I've seen the first one, Jim, before obviously it goes there tonight.
Good on you, Bill.
But
it's the kind of research I didn't expect from the rush hour.
It's about the lovely Rachel.
I'm staggered actually myself.
It's about the lovely Rachel. She's over in Hong Kong giving a few at conference.
Yes.
Anyway, goes out for dinner, fancy dinner with her Chinese friends.
Yes.
And it turns into...
It's a dinner from hell. She's
poo.
Rachel's from Adelaide. Mother of five,
oh.
And she gets invited to a very fancy dinner and takes her three-year-old and her six-year-old along. And essentially, these disgusting 1,000-year-old eggs come out, which is a delicacy, which is essentially a rotten egg that they serve over in China. And she can't stand the look of them. She turns to her husband and goes to her husband, Mark, if you eat my eggs, tonight I'll give you anything.
And and you know what she says, Jim? And you know what he says? Anything?
And she says, yes, to take the eggs. And then so this is a quest from one man to take down disgusting eggs. He has a red wine chaser with every single egg he puts down. And in his quest to get anything off his wife. And Hamish at one point asks, how often does Mark get anything? And she says, never.
Never. We've got five kids.
About to say, Bill and I have four each, and we both know what anything means.
Well, especially...
Something you've never even got close to.
Especially at the minute, Jim. but... But it's fantastic, and it's acted out as she tells the story. So yes, she's talking, and it's been acted out by very good actors.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're so lucky with the cast. Mick Malloy makes Glenn Robbins makes an appearance. But you know, Cat Stewart, and then real actors like Cat Stewart is in there as well. Craig McLaughlin is in next week's episode. So yeah, we're pretty excited that so many people came and played 138 speaking roles in the end, as we get 10 new worlds and a different story every week.
I was about to say, is it one story per show?
Yeah, that's one story per show. Next week is a kid called Stubby who is in a surf life-saving competition. He wanted to win a medal to impress his dad, to make his dad proud, but also impress the girl of his dreams. And he sees her in his Speedos on the start line just before he goes and gets a little excited. And it's how a 15-year-old deals with that in front of thousands of people watching on. It's pretty exciting.
Wins by a short head. Hey, now,
Bill.
Well, Jim just got over the line.
That might have been a better way.
Yeah, right. We'll cut that out.
Oh, will we?
And they're 30 minutes long, the episodes. Yeah. Where did the concept come from?
It came from, I mean, all good ideas. Comes from sitting around and having a beer with your mates. And I find that when your mate's telling a story, it's obviously the story's funny, but watching my mates laugh along and question those stories and call bullshit. I mean, how often is Bill telling a story and you just go have to take it down three or four pegs?
No, every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I'll give you one. Do you believe Picnic at Hanging Rock was real?
No, it wasn't. It's a myth.
All right, you can get stuffed too, because I'm telling you, it happened. It bloody happened.
I said this to Fat about 8 shows ago. He's still arguing with me.
I spoke to someone on the weekend. They went for a picnic up there, and it's a true story.
What the people on the weekend, how did they? You
spoke they went for a picnic. It's all up there on a big board.
Oh, and you saw someone that went there for a picnic. It must be true.
That's it. So you're telling bullcrap.
I mean, that's kind of Hamish and my role in the show as well. And like you said, it's truly storyteller-led. The stories expand and contract depending on what they're saying. Often people, when they tell stories, they forget out vital information.
Yes.
I'm looking across
there
at Bill.
There you go.
And Hamish and I will ask a clarifying question, and they might go, oh, yeah, my dad was there. And then suddenly their dad will appear in the reenactment. Yeah. So it's really fun and to see these stories kind of bounce around.
Now, Andy, you and your great mate Hamish... Mm. I often get criticised for not working a full year.
Oh.
But I am an amateur in comparison to you two.
Extended breaks, Brayshaw.
When are you taking off, by the way, upstairs? Yeah. When does that all wind up?
So, Haim and I will see out the year. We've obviously, we're left on ice early in this part of the year, but we've got a few breaks in between.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, given the vagary of your out there. It might be sometime soon.
Yeah, I'm not sure if, you know... What's the standard working year? Is it 48 weeks?
No, don't ask Jim.
That's for, 4 weeks off a year for, for an accountant or something.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah. I think we're sitting around a half.
Yeah. What are you, Brayshaw? What do you do? You don't start to March and finish September.
A lot more than that.
Oh.
We need to take a break. Andy Lee, by the way, make sure you're watching tonight, 7:30, True Story on the Nine Network. Exceptional television. More with Andy after this.
From True Story, starting 7:30 tonight on Channel 9, one half of Hamish and Andy. Yeah. It's Andy Lee with us.
Looking forward to that. I tell you what, you've made it when you're on 60 Minutes, Jim.
Yes,
when you make it on 60 Minutes, that is it. How was that?
Look, I don't think either of us are interesting enough to sit there for 60 minutes and be on that show. So Cackling Jack, who presses the buttons for us, far less professional than the chap you've got here, by the way.
Leroy.
He set up a meme on the night that said, when 60 minutes feels like 120 minutes because it's so boring.
But also, when you're on there for a good reason, that's the other thing. They're not chasing you the driveway.
No, exactly. I mean, I think they did like two breaks on us, and Hamish texted me and said we had to commit a crime to get the third break.
Anymore.
Yeah, to get any more.
Hey, it's taken me this long in the interview, Bill.
Yes.
But I ran into Andy in the car park, it would have to be a week and a half ago.
Yep. I was asking for a chainsaw.
Just me. Yes.
I heard you couldn't give one away.
Poor Blake was blind.
Oh, Bill. So anyway,
what are we going to do?
After Andy inquired as to whether we had a Husqvarna chainsaw that he might be able to latch onto, he then spoke about the game of football coming up between our two great clubs,
Carlton
and North Melbourne. I imagine halfway through that last quarter, you were starting to get ahead of yourself.
Absolutely. midway through the third, I was ahead of myself. Yes. What a game, though. I mean, I loved it. And the fact that the Blues didn't get up, it didn't bother me too much, to be honest, because it was tremendous to see them come and keep coming.
Yeah, storm
home. And look, we probably got too far behind, and the young legs didn't have enough in the tank to pull it off. But you were getting worried.
Oh, no, yeah. Not worried. I'd given up. I said, that's it. We've cooked another one. Are you excited by you? Because you are very passionate. Are you excited about where you're at?
Extremely excited. I think they played 7 teenagers on the weekend, and they're all standing up. And some of those later picks are showing a bit of form, which I think is always what you need. You need to like your Cameron Lings and that come later yep. picks that come good, and suddenly you've got a list.
Cunningham?
Cunningham, you know, what was he? Picked 28 or so? I don't know. He was in the 20s, and he's showing good form. But Zach Fisher, who's in a first year, Samo in his first year.
Williamson, the left footer off halfback's a good kid.
Picked 60 or something. You know, these are all, they're all great by foot. They're all quite classy, and they're also playing great footy in their first year. And, you know, match that up with now Marchbank, Wiedering, McCready.
Yep.
These are all blokes under 21 that are giving us quite the foundation. I think the with footy these days, it's about hanging on to these guys.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well coached too. You can just the direction they're going is spot on.
I honestly think that our coach is worth, you know, 6 goals at the moment. He's that good. And there's a few games, I won't mention the games, but where I thought if the roles had been reversed and the other coach was in the box, I reckon we would have wouldn't have got as close.
Well, he learned under the master, of course, Al Clarkson. So he's been well bred as far as that's concerned.
Here's a question for you, Bill.
Yes, please.
Yeah, my mate texted me the other day. He said, "I'm heading to the footy tonight with former head of champion data. If you've got any thoughts, queries regarding how stats are collected, please let me know." Oh. So I said, okay, how about pressure racks? What is a pressure act?
That's it. Well said.
He hasn't texted back.
No.
So do you know what a pressure act is?
Well, I've had a couple of late. But no, I assume it's that in there.
You don't know.
No. I got no idea, to be honest.
Do you know what a pressure act
all,
is?
No,
what is it, Jim?
All I know is when I used to be the chairman and I'd get down into the coach's room afterwards and they'd hand you the official champion data
sheet. What would you look for?
I would, mostly with us, it was contested footy, because as soon as we lost that, we lost the game like every single time. Mm. And then you'd start working through the rest. But there were seriously times when I'd look at the sheet and go, they are kidding themselves, this mob.
Yes.
If they think that's accurate, they are making this shit up.
Yes.
Anyway, and the boys would go, oh yeah, we sometimes question it as well, I'll tell you what it's like. Mm. It's like that Hawkeye in a tennis match at the Australian Open. Mm. We just accept that it's accurate.
Yeah.
How do you know if it isn't?
Some of the stats now.
LBW, the same.
I agree. Yeah. We just go, oh, well, it must be right.
Yeah.
You're right. Hey, a couple of questions I've got for you.
Yeah, but
what makes a good radio show?
I mean, having a funny co-host helps me a lot.
That's
where I suffer.
What about, just to move that question on a little further, like you and Andy and Hamish have always looked to me like you get on very, very well.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that is key. That's why I love listening to you guys
But that's what was my next point. Bill's just got about a minute left.
Yeah, okay. Well, the thing is, I mean, a lot of shows out there, and getting serious for a second, is they get put together. You know, you guys are pals before you're doing this. Many shows are manufactured. It used to be, who was on Big Brother last year?
Yeah.
Let's pull them out.
With a comedian?
Yeah, let's get a comedian. Yeah. Let's put them in there and maybe a sportsman as well. And the fact that Hamish and I are elite sportsmen could have been on Big Brother and obviously comedians, it all came a package. But I think, generally that we love hanging out and tomfoolery, and that's what I hear in your show as well.
Well, that was my next question. given that you're maybe just easing out of your amazing radio show with Hamish and the TV thing will go really well, I know, but next year?
Yeah.
Any thought of the rush hour?
Oh, right.
I'm about to give Bill the arse.
I'd love that. Yeah. To be able to sit there and talk footy.
It'd be boring then.
It actually probably would be boring. I think we all need a Wilbur in our life.
We do. Someone to stuff up the English language. you talk too correctly.
Talk footy, that'd be bloody handy, and not have to reference a Kardashian or Ariana Grande. It would be pretty nice. Yeah.
Well, you're welcome anytime you like. Good luck with
this.
Fellas.
I love
the fact that
tonight,
you've gone
Jim.
Out on a limb and done something completely original. True story, it's called. 7:30, Channel 9, Episode 1. Get around Hamish and Andy, as always.
Thanks, fellas.
How's Beck?
I've got it here. We've wrapped it up, haven't we?
best.
Oh, yeah, and I love this article, Bill. In The Age, written by Michael Gleeson, very good journalist who joins us now, talking about footy's phony choice was the headline. It's basically making kids choose at a very young age whether they play footy or cricket and dropping the other one off.
Right.
Which I have a strong view is absolutely un-Australian. Gleeson, welcome to you.
Thank you very much, JB. Bill.
Hello, Michael. How are you? And
very
what
well.
Brought you to write this article?
Well, the Will Sutherland one was the obvious connection. Yep. As we know, James's son, his mum's also a board member of AFL Vic, Australian under 19 captain, and he kicked a bag of goals playing for his school, and football's desperate to get him. There's been working parties trying to come up with the plan to get him back into the game and into football. He's now being picked to play Vic Metro. Right. Despite not playing TAC Cup, so he's going to play in the championship. So
which doesn't normally happen, that does
no,
it?
Really? No, no. Well, pathway. Sort of the rules are a bit malleable. They just want to get the best talent. And that's football's push throughout, and it just opened up this idea of, you know, what football will do to make sure they preserve and quarantine the best talent for themselves. And yeah, I think it's it asks of kids at a very young age. Now, he's probably at that age where he does have to make that choice because it's this year and it's the draft. But kids even younger are being asked to make that decision on what they want to do.
Which is the un-Australian bit for mine, Gleeso, because forevermore, going back 100 years, kids have played cricket in the summer and footy in the winter. In fact, that's why footy was invented, to keep the cricketers fit in the off-season. And it is just a wonderful thing. And we were just talking off-air. You've got 0.05% of all the people that play footy end up AFL footballers, and who play cricket, even less. It's 0.00005 whoever play a first-class game.
Yeah.
So for the rest, it's about enjoying it. It's about immersing yourself in both games and having an unbelievable time playing cricket in the summer and footy in the winter.
Yeah, I agree. And it's about even not just the 0.001, even once you get to being one of the better footballers.
Yep.
Once you get to the TAC Cup system, the pathway system, there's 100 or so kids that go through the TAC Cup, most clubs, TAC Cup clubs programs. Well, only on an average year, a good year, 4 will be picked up.
Yep.
So you're talking 96% of kids that once they get to the TAC Cup system, get through. It's a
And the parents think they're all going to get through.
Yes.
Don't they?
As soon as they're at the TAC
Cup squad.
And there's a bragging rights thing saying, I was de-invited down to Oakley Chargers. Yeah. I was just a step away. And you and 100 other kids that went through there. And so look, not to, you know, begrudge them, but I don't think it's a healthy thing. And I was also alerted to the fact that there was a discussion about lifting the draft age.
Yep. Which I think should happen.
Yeah, and some are saying 19 and others even saying 20. For this idea of bringing in more mature personalities, not just physically but mentally mature, absolutely. Emotionally mature
let
to deal with it.
Let them finish their year of school.
Let them finish their school year.
Yeah, yeah.
Experience everything and then get into the game. And there was a quote from the AFL that really sort of stuck out saying, our sport is seeking to access the best available talent. If we delayed opportunities, we run the risk of having talented athletes choose other sport options. Well, yeah, maybe one or two.
Yep.
Maybe one or two
that might make it out
of, and that was all sort of like, well, it also sort of indicated we're not really concerned about what's best for the kid.
Yes.
But what's best for our sport is that we make sure we get all of them in and we don't, we stop them playing the other team.
And that seems to happen, doesn't it? The footy seems to win out most times.
Yeah, it does because the opportunities seem much easier to obtain and to succeed at it. And maybe the money's there at a lower level, maybe sexier.
Although the BBL's addressed that, I reckon.
Now
I reckon kids are looking at that, and 75,000-80,000 at a Stars Renegades game. And so there is some sizzle back in cricket because everyone only saw the Australian team back in, say, my day. But you're right. And 850 on a list, whereas there's only 60 people on any given weekend playing first-class cricket in the country. So the numbers are vastly stacked towards
footy
career.
There are a few more that can make careers without being first-class cricketers. But typically, you're still going to get your 20-20 players are still going to be playing first-class cricket. And there are opportunities, though. There's more players that can make the big bucks than there were before because of EPL and IPL.
It is a shame, though. I mean, my dad, Gleeson, was an unbelievably good sportsman, played 100 Sheffield Shield games back in the 70s, 60s and 70s when that was bloody hard to do.
Yeah.
There were only five teams in those days. But also played 80-odd games for Claremont, was a premiership player in the Waffle, so played both till he was 23.
And trained at both and played both?
He loved it. He said, as soon as the last Shield game was finished, I went straight down to Claremont. He said, I was way behind everyone else, but I caught up pretty quick. And he said, it's the greatest fun ever. You could pick one up and put one down. Yeah. Craig Bradley did the same thing and was equally incredible. Well, he was a better footballer than the old man, but unbelievable for him to be able to play both.
I was talking to Scotty Burns at Collingwood. He said he came over as a 19-year-old, I think he was, when he finally came over. He'd been playing at Norwood, but he played district cricket in Adelaide and loved it. And the club was happy for him to do it.
Got to be good for
you. And just felt rounded and loved his cricket. And I think it also gives you that mental break from one sport to the other. Otherwise, you're doing one sport 12 months a year. And,
well, I just hated, when I read your article, we're going to get onto other stuff next, but when I read your article, the thing I didn't like hearing was footy programs for under 15s changing to a certain night to make sure that they block the cricket out. I mean, that's just a very concerning thing.
Yeah, well, they dispute that was the reason, but the reality is that's what occurred.
Yeah.
Whether that was the reason for it, that's the reality of what occurred. That, you know, it changed to that night, and that's for pre-season training. You've got kids that are under 16 cricketers teams being left without players because the best cricketers are often the best footballers and they sort of...
And they're training
off
in summer.
Yeah,
summer. It's mind-blowing. More with Michael Gleeson from The Age after this.
From The Age, Michael Gleeson in studio with us.
Wrote a very good article about kids having to choose cricket and footy way too early for my liking.
And there's a couple, Will Sutherland, as you said, and Jared Brander, who played for Grammar on the weekend against College and kicked five. Heals the difference, but also bowls about 140, Jim.
Ooh,
so
nice.
And at year 12. So there's a couple of kids.
Any mail on him? Is he going to go?
I think he's going
way?
Footy.
Footy.
Yep. Yeah. I don't think that's ever been as much of a in dispute.
Wasn't sort of a choice for you, Bill, was it?
Because yes, it was,
Jim. Very, very ordinary cricketer.
Well, Nigel has actually asked a question, Jim, off the Twitter.
Has he?
I want a serious answer to this. Was Bill any good at cricket? Yes.
No.
Did he really play for Essendon first? Yes. I played about
three games?
No, eight or nine, Jim. Got 100 in the twos.
Bill.
As an 18-year-old.
There's not many things I wish for in life, but I wish I'd somehow been able to get 22 yards away from you with the Kookaburra in hand bowling that poop you bowled. It would have been pedestrian garbage.
I just bowled into the wind and bowled beautiful little outies.
Help yourself.
Yeah, and hard-hitting about number six, I was going to say. But you, I'm reading about you. You're a senior AFL writer, but also covers the tennis.
Yeah, now, occasionally.
What's going on with the crowds in... the French Open. There's no one there.
No one there. It's a common thing with tennis, isn't it? It's just sort of dropping off and drifting off.
Mm.
There'll be no one at the Margaret Court Arena next year.
Oh, that's true.
Should that be renamed?
I would have thought so.
It should.
Yeah, I think so.
Staggering thing, isn't it?
Mm. Well, I mean, it's not just about what you do on the court. It's what you say afterwards and what you think.
She's had plenty
to say. How you behave. She has had plenty to say.
Also an author, Jim. So obviously sports books, but also a couple of crime books. And you've got together with a couple of interesting people to write some
Be careful
books.
What you say to me, Bill.
Yeah,
I'm very well connected. I go through Roberta.
Do you know Roberta? Like, do you still talk to her?
We don't catch up like we did during the book. But Roberta was she was good to work with.
Yeah.
She's a different character than you would expect when you get to know. Well, most people's image of Roberta is from short TV grabs or from the Underbelly series where she was cussing and fighting and everything the whole time. She'll meet you and swear for 5 minutes and then relaxes and she just talks like anyone else. And she's nice.
And also the Jaden Lesky.
Yeah, coming up for 20th anniversary.
And did I read there's some new information or new...
Well, you did read that. Data? Didn't go very far, that new information, though, because they then checked out... some copper said that he was worried by this tape that had been...
The tape.
Yeah. Then the police, Roland Legge, who was the homicide squad detective leading that thing, that investigation, said, well, that tape was the wrong size and the wrong colour. So we never really looked at it. It was considered and dismissed. So, no, there's no new evidence there.
None.
No.
That was a weird investigation.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had everything in that. I mean, your mum was also your aunt. There was a pig's head thrown at the door. Was weird.
Gleeso, you've also covered massive events worldwide. I've seen you at a couple of Olympic Games and things like that. Tell me the favourite thing you've done, like of all of the journalistic stuff, is there been one event like a Grand Slam tennis tournament?
There's been two things.
Yep.
One, the London Olympics, where it was watching David Rudisha was one of the best moments. Him winning. The other.
What did he do?
Won the 800 world record time.
Jim was
just
a
took
bit
off.
Puzzled there.
Well, I was out at Eton Dorney. Didn't get to see
anything. Get on the rowing, weren't you?
I saw you there one day and I wasn't going to return.
The 800,
The other, the best thing I think I ever did was had dinner at the same table as Muhammad Ali.
Nice.
When?
Yeah, I was working in London at the time, and the Daily Mail then said, can you go down and attend this? And it was a table of 10 in this restaurant, and he was there. And he wasn't very talkative at the time. It was sort of later on. But, you know, in the, a bit like yourself, Billy ordered one. They ordered two of everything.
Two of everything.
And he picked up, there was no, you know, the hand was shaking, so the soup spoon wasn't really the guy. So he just picked up the bowl, just a couple of bowls of soup, just bang, bang, and yeah, ate two serves of everything.
So you get a photo with him?
I did, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Went over and...
Oh, well, I like to think he got one with me.
What'd you say? Oh, mate, can I get a photo?
No, there was a bit of a group thing. I didn't want to be too much of a suck.
Yeah. and the Commonwealth Games coming up, is that going to be any good up there in the Gold Coast?
Won't have quite the same appeal as Glasgow did. Glasgow was good fun.
Yeah,
heading to the Goldie for the couple of weeks. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, won't hopefully be covering it then. Or
oh, I will be. I expect. We'll be at the age. Fairfax will still be going. what'll be interesting is the World Championships in London in August. Sally Pearson is now back in the sort of form, and she's obviously an ambassador for the Gold Coast.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah.
She's back in the form. You couldn't rule her out now of being on the podium again. And that's a, you could not have thought that in the last 2 years, given the injuries that she'd had.
Yeah. And those big events, Cliso, it's fair to say, even to this day, the journos can have a nice lash at it. Look, After Hours was always very, very strong.
Covering the athletics, John Silvato, Scott Gullin and myself, we do manage to find time, find time to find the better places to relax between sessions.
So you bloody should.
Yeah.
It's all a part of it.
Kyrgios win a major?
Oh, you'd... Well, it'll only be because of himself. He'll beat himself.
You know what the problem is? He's got to win, what, six or seven? Yeah, but 6 or 7 games in a row, which he goes all right for 3 or 4 and then just blows himself up.
Yeah, and he goes all right for half of one and then decides, oh, I'm out of here.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
And just pulls the pin. Mm. So, no, he's got all the tools, you would have thought.
He has.
But mentally, he doesn't seem to want to do it.
Hey, Gleeson, thanks very much for coming
in.
Well
boys.
Done. Great article in The Age. Michael Gleeson, one of their premier writers, of course. Good chatting always.
Thanks, boys.
Anything you got by way of a joke?
Yeah, I have our sponsor.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke. They're
dropped off again.
No sponsor.
Yep. They've fallen away again, the sponsor.
Oh, Jim, I'll have to get them back.
Yep.
A pirate walks into a bar, Jim.
Oh, no.
And the bartender says, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. What happened? You look bloody terrible.
No.
Arr!
Oh, no.
The pirate says, Jim, I'll be fine. The bartender says, but what about that wooden leg? You didn't walk in here before with that wooden leg, which he wouldn't have been. Ah, says the pirate, we're in a battle at sea and a cannonball hit me in the leg, but the surgeon fixed me up. I'll be fine.
Surgeon?
Yeah, says the bartender. That's not right then, but what about that hook? Last time I saw you, you had both hands. Ah, says the pirate. Jim?
Yes.
We were in another battle and we boarded the enemy ship.
Yes.
I was in a sword fight and he cut me hand off.
Right.
But the surgeon fixed me up with this hook. I'll be feeling great soon. Ah, says the bowman. What about that eye patch? Last time you were in here, you had both eyes. Ah, said the pirate. One day when I was washing me deck, some seagulls were flying overhead, Jim. I looked up and one of them pooped in my eye. Ah, so the barman said, what? You could have... You didn't lose an eye because of that, surely. Ah, said the pirate. That was my first day with the hook.
Oh, no. Oh, come on, Bill.
It was his first day with the hook.
Slaughtered.
Yeah. That is, as Chief would say, butchery. That is joke-telling butchery.
Jim, was his first day with the hook.
Oh, thank you, Bill. So he went to clean the bird poo out with the hook and lost his eye.
Lost his eye. Arr! You're spot on, Jim. Arr!
Look at Jake, who's got to hold the camera for the live Facebook.
He looks like a bloody pirate.
There's not one bit of movement in the camera because he thinks it's the worst crap he's ever heard.
It's not a bad joke.
No, it's horrendous.
You actually told her, right?
No, yeah, exactly. Arr! No, thank you, Bill.
Well done, Bill. Good finish to a good show. That's all we like.
No, not really. None of those things.
Tomorrow, same time. Same bad channel.
Finish up tonight, Bill.
All right. Defeated Sri Lanka and then last night India made 319. 2 for 319.
Oh, listen to old.
That's a kebab. That's a kebab.
That was the Rush Hour catch-up.
Finish up the night, Bill.
Get even more of JB and Billy by subscribing to the Rush Hour podcast on iTunes.